Live from London, England, it's the Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM, where the 12s hear the Hawks.
It is a story that we have been chronicling for months, for years, just how bad crime has gotten. And sometimes I think we need to hear the stories about what those criminals are trying to take from the victims. And this guy has quite a story to share. His name is Sean Telford, and he lives in Ballard, where I grew up. And he joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Sean, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about some of the problems facing my community.
I heard you talk to our news partners at Cairo 7, and it sounds like you are just fed up with the drug vagrants that have taken over your neighborhood, the neighborhood in which I grew up. Tell me about just the frustration of what you've seen.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that frustrates me is the helplessness that myself and my neighbors feel when across the street from us is a heroin vending machine. And you can watch people pull up, park in front of my house, cross the street to this heroin vending machine, get their drugs, and then come back to their car and leave. Meanwhile, my son's playing in the front yard or the backyard. There's children on the east of my house, the west of my house, across the street and behind the alley. This is a very neighborhood. We are being overwrought with these criminals. Now, there's three types of homeless. There are families and working poor that are just trying to get by, and they're open to receiving and definitely need more services and affordable housing options. Sure. The second group are drug addicts and mentally ill people that do have a chance of recovery if the services were there for them or if there were better housing options for them. But the third group is these hardcore, lifelong opiate zombies and violent criminals that have ganged up in a Mad Max-style terrorist camps that refuse any and all services. They run amok on the community. They steal. They rob. They're bandits, and they harass people out walking their dogs or just enjoying this beautiful city that we live in.
Yeah. The truth of it, too. And I agree with your assessment of the different things that get people into homelessness. The problem is we're probably looking at your category number three that you just described. That's probably about 90% of the homeless. They are offered services. They're offered shelter. They're offered treatment. And they turn it down because they have made being a heroin addict on the streets their lifestyle of choice. And I find that incredibly sad. But I also know that that's the reality for the vast majority. So tell me about, before I get to what happened to you, tell me about this heroin vending machine. That is something new to me. I had not heard about this.
Well, let me just say, I'm speaking sort of metaphorically, but across the street, and I'm walking outside right now. This is me standing in my front yard. I'm going to look to the right across 8th Avenue Northwest, and I'm going to look at one, two, three recreational vehicles. The second one is the one that they're dealing heroin out of. Now, I haven't gone over there and bought the drugs myself, but I can watch people. There's a guy standing in front of it now. And yesterday I walked to the hardware store, and along the way I walked right by that that RV, and there was two pretty despicable looking characters standing there, and they're talking about a home, and there was something in the home that they were going to get. I could hear it. I was standing about 6 feet away from him, 10 feet away, maybe 10 feet away. And I recorded it with my phone. You can't hear the audio of what they were discussing, but they're just running amok in this entire area.
Let me give you another example of that, because if you're on 8th Avenue, not far from you is Leary Way. And a listener to my show a couple of weeks ago sent me a picture of an RV with a wood sign leaning against a car right next to this RV. And they had spray painted "Buy drugs here." And the police came out and did nothing about it. The sign stayed up even after the police responded hours later. So I know what you're describing is 100% accurate.
Ninth and Leary, and I'm talking about 8th, which is one block east of what you're describing.
Yep.
And that whole area, before they took them out just a couple days ago, they removed everybody and all the encampment. They took it out. But before that, in that little stretch of city, there was probably about 30 to 45 people living in RVs and old school buses and tents just right there. And like you said, 90% of them are just malicious criminals. They're out there to steal, rob, intimidate, and harass this entire neighborhood so that they can steal our property, they can and take anything and trade for drugs.
No, I agree. Hey, I want to make sure we have time to tell people. So tell us about the theft that hit you. What did they steal from your house?
Well, on Thursday, I noticed that somebody had tried to break the lock on the passenger side of my vehicle. And then I noticed that they went around to the driver's side, broke the window. They stole a toy, one of my son's toys. This is a Volkswagen Westphalia. We use this only for camping, which we do about once a month. We go out to the peninsula or up into the Cascades or all over the region. We have great recreational opportunities in this region. And that's what I do with my son. Now, my dad was responsible for getting me this vehicle. And, after he passed, I kept some of his ashes inside of it because my dad taught me to appreciate the great outdoors. And I'm trying to do that with my son. And we take Grandpa Gary with us on these trips. That's just let me go on. So needless to say, I saw the vehicle had been broken into. Now, my son's favorite place to go is Soldok Hot Springs. And we've been planning for about 3-4 weeks to get out there this last weekend because they close for the season at the end of the month. We have just a few more opportunities to get out there. So the day before we're to depart, somebody breaks into the vehicle. They stole some of his toys. They stole my sunglasses, blankets, a poncho, some other items from my vehicle. But the window, the driver's side window, was open, and I felt the vehicle was very vulnerable and that they could come back and take some more things or take the vehicle itself. So that night, I put the bed down in the back. I put insulation up in all of the windows so that nobody could see in, but also that I can't see out. And I waited there. I just waited there to protect my property and protect my home and ensure that no more damages would be done. And Friday morning, about 6 a.m., I heard a vehicle come up the alley. Now, my cars are parked behind my house and along the alley. And I heard a vehicle come up the alley and stop further up the alley. And I thought to myself, now, I wonder who that is, because I know my neighbors pretty well. And I just wasn't sure who was coming home at that time of day. Well, about a minute later, the driver's side door of my vehicle opens up, and the guy didn't even look back to see if anybody was in there. He just reached in and started grabbing stuff. The first thing he grabs is my dad's ashes that are sitting in the window.
Oh my goodness.
Grabbed that. I flipped the sleeping bag. I was fully dressed. I had my shoes on, and I flipped the sleeping bag off. I have a big 2-cell mag light. Shine that right in his face. He took off running. I jumped out the side of the van and ran after him. And he went down the alley, across the street, and directly to those RVs, where he knew that his friends would protect him and help him to escape. And sure enough,
what did you do when you caught up to that?
When I caught up to him, I was shouting the whole time. Because I couldn't sleep with my phone in my pocket. It was just too uncomfortable. But in the quick getaway and chase, I didn't grab my phone. So I'm yelling to anyone to call 911. And when he got to those RVs, he stopped running. And I just shined my light on his face and was following about 12 feet behind him. And somebody handed him a bicycle. He got on the bicycle and started heading west on 48 towards 9th, towards the encampment. And I pursued him on foot and caught him. Let me just tell you something about these junkies. They're not fit. They're not healthy. They are not fast. And I caught him, and I yanked him off the bike down to the ground, and we kind of rolled around down there on the ground for a minute. He popped up by now because I had been yelling, those RVs, all the junkies are coming out of the RVs. They're coming out of the encampments, and they're coming down to see what's going on. And now I'm surrounded by about 10 to 12 of these people that know this guy, and they're friends with him. One of those people has a big, long pry bar, about 2 feet long, a nail bar. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly, yes.
Big piece of steel. And he starts waving that around and chased me away so his friend could get back up on the bicycle and take off on the bicycle again. And again, I took off after him, and I chased him back. Now he's coming back towards my house on 48. And I caught him again and knocked him off the bicycle again. And this time, by the way, when he was down on the ground, he's feeling around for his pockets. He's looking for something, and he pulls out a knife. So he's got a knife. The guy that got into my van now has a knife, and he's got a buddy. He's got a big 2-foot-long pry bar, and I'm scared. But I knocked him off the bike again, and he's trying to get away, and a car pulls through, and I'm yelling and screaming to call 911. He got on the bike for the third time and starts taking off back towards the encampment on 9th. And I chased him again.
Let me jump in for just a second here, Sean, because we're almost out of time. So I got to hear the end of the story. So you chased him a third time. Did you get the ashes back, and what did you finally do to this guy?
Well, he got away the third time, and I came back to get my phone and call 911. And when I came back, I saw that he had dropped the ashes in the alley. And I also saw that he had left his motorcycle up the street. So when the police arrived, they ran a check on the VIN number on that motorcycle and discovered it was a stolen bike. So we were able to recover a stolen motorcycle. I was able to recover my dad's ashes. And when I looked at his escape route where he went out the alley, I found that he had dropped an ASP baton. Do you know what those are?
Yeah,
the collapsible telescoping steel baton that police use and criminals. Those are the two people that use them. And that's what he had used to break my window. If you look at the photos, you can see that the window break was a small circular impact point, which is exactly what an ASP is and can do.
Oh, man.
But, you know, at the end of the day, that's a 33-year-old vehicle, and it's very hard to find parts for it. And I had to call around all over the Puget Sound to find a window to put back in there so I could take my son camping later that day. And we did. We made it. We got out of town, and we were able to get away. And I'm very grateful that we were able to do that. But I still don't feel safe in my own home. Every car door, I'm just jumping up and looking to see what's going on and see what's happening out there, protecting my home, my property, my community. We can't, and there's nothing that the police can do. They're hamstrung. And the city council, it's going to take so long for these efforts to come into place and get some traction and make a difference.
Well, we got to get rid of the entire city council. I mean, that's job one here, because they've let our city just go completely to hell. Hey, Sean, I really appreciate your fascinating storyteller, because you really took us into what you were going through that evening. I'm glad you got Grandpa and Dad's ashes back, and I'm sorry for what you and your family are going through. It's a real shame.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your concern.
Okay, and we tell these stories because we need our politicians and our voters to wake up. All right, that's Sean Telford in Ballard. That's what happens when we let the drug vagrants take over our city. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us. It's the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. And we have lots more from London, England, as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.